You can tell me what this is. Can you see what it is? Yeah, what is it? A mug? Kind of a mug? See what it says on it? Chicago, yeah. So it's a mug that's come from Chicago. Yeah, okay. What about this then? Who knows what that is? You know what that is? It's a boomerang. Where's that come from? Shall I have a go? Well, better not, had I? All the way from Australia. Genuine Australian boomerang. And who knows what these are? You'll have to look very closely. Lego. They're Lego people, yeah. And can you see anything on there to give you a...
Medals.
They're sort of medals, aren't they? Yeah, they have got medals on. You're quite right, yeah. Gold, silver and bronze medals. Anybody see what that is? So the Lego people with gold. So what can you see on the bottom there? What it's referring to?
The Olympics.
The Olympics, yes. So it's at London, Team GB, London 2012. Oops. Now this one's a little bit more difficult to identify. Does anybody recognise that? You can see that it's a kind of a, what is it generally?
Wristband thing.
It's a wristband thing, isn't it? And it's got, can you see what it's got on it? It's got a poppy on it. Has anybody ever seen one of these before? You have to have gone to a certain place probably to have seen one of these things before. If you go to the battlefield sites in northern France, you can get one of these. And they're sort of, they've got some kind of chip in them. And you can use them with some sort of computer to be able to identify people who are remembered at the battlefield site. So if you take that along with you, you can sort of research your relatives and that kind of thing. We've got four objects down there. Can anybody tell me what word describes all of them together? So there's a mug from Chicago, there's a boomerang from Australia, there's a London 2012 figures, and there's something from the battlefield sites. Do you know what it might be? Wow, it could be wow, couldn't it? Yeah. Anybody else like to? So a word that we sometimes use to describe that kind of thing. You know, you bring it back from somewhere. Yeah? A souvenir. That's right. They're all souvenirs, aren't they? Now, when we go to a special place or visit people, we like to bring back with us a memento or a keepsake. And we often call them souvenirs. So they're objects that you get in order to bring memories back to you. Now, people who know anything about modern foreign languages will know, probably, that the word souvenir is what language does that come from? We use it in English, but it's actually a what word? Which country?
French.
It's French, isn't it? That's right. And it means, I understand, if I can remember back to my schoolboy French, something like a memory or a remembrance. And I'm told it comes from the Latin for to come to mind. Now, of course, we're all here this morning to remember. Not so much objects, but certainly to call to mind things that have happened, especially in our country's history. To remember those who have given their lives for the freedoms that we now enjoy. Now here in Ferriby, we have remembered this year, by the tolling of our tenor church bell, the centenary of the deaths of Harry Wilson, George Coggan and Gilbert Atkin, men with local connections who are named on our war memorial, who died in the First World War in 1915. And today we also remember all those who gave their lives for our country in World War I. 885,000 military and another 100,000 civilians. Now this year also marks the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Britain, the Second World War defence of the United Kingdom by the Royal Air Force against an onslaught by the enemy Luftwaffe Air Force. Now we remember the almost 1,000 British planes and their crews who were lost in what was a complex and deadly battle that lasted for quite a long time. Famously, the British Prime Minister at the time, Winston Churchill, said of the Battle of Britain in August 1940, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few." And we also remember that in the whole of World War II, 382,000 military and another 67,000 civilians died. Now, of course, there have been many others who have died for their country. And we remember them too, including the 22,000 who died in the Boer War at the turn of the 20th century, some of whom are featured in the Villages at War exhibition that's going on through the day. It finishes at 3 o'clock, but there's time to go and have a look at it in the Village Hall this afternoon. Also, we think of the almost 800 who died in Northern Ireland in the 70s, 80s and 90s, and over 600 British military casualties of the operations in Iraq and Afghanistan in the last 15 years or so. And many of us who are here this morning also remember relatives and friends who fought and survived, but who played their part. Now, our Bible reading from Psalm 105 also speaks about the need to remember. In the course of what is a 3,000-year-old hymn of praise and an encouragement to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to him, the writer says, "Remember the wondrous works that he has done." And then later, speaking of the Lord God himself, the writer says, "He remembers his covenant forever." Now, I know that there are people here this morning who have made promises publicly. Anybody here who's ever had to stand up in front of other people and make a promise? Who's ever had to do that? I know there's a lot of you have, so you have to put your hands up. Good, okay. I know a lot of the uniformed organisations have had to do that. Can anybody remember the promise that they made? Anybody remember the promise? Shall I put you on the spot and ask if you can remember it? Sometimes it's quite hard to remember, isn't it? So you can remember your promise, can you? You promised that you'd do that, okay. And there's other people who promised and made a brownie promise or a cub or a scout promise and something like that, guide one and so on. Well, you know, we human beings do make promises to each other from time to time, but also we know that sometimes we don't keep them. Well, in that reading, we are assured that God always keeps his promises. He remembers his promises. We read, "He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations." So God remembers his promises. Can you just take that, and there's some blue tack on the back, and stick it on that piece of wood there. Yeah, that's it. That's good. Got it? Well done. God remembers his promises. Now, God has made a special promise. He's made a covenant agreement that he will keep. We often forget what we promise to each other, but God will never forget. He remembers his covenant forever, we read. The covenant that he made with Abraham. And if you read the very first book of the Bible, we discover that God took a very unlikely old man and told him that through him and all his children and their children, their children's children, all his descendants, the peoples of the whole earth would one day be helped to find God. Now, this was going to start with the people of Israel, as we now call them, and it was going to spread throughout the whole world so that all the different parts of the world would know about God. Now, Abraham believed God's promise. And the New Testament of the Bible shows us that God kept that promise by sending the true descendant of Abraham into the world. The one that our reading from John's Gospel, who was talking all about love, was pointing to. In other words, it was Jesus. And people who believe in Jesus find that the promise that God has made, God remembers his promises, that promise he made thousands of years ago to Abraham comes true for them. So the New Testament book of Galatians says, "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise." You see, God remembers his promises. And there's something else as well, and that is that God, we must remember God's rescue. Can you take that one and stick it on here? Push it on with a little bit of blue tack. That's one. Put it a bit higher up, perhaps. There we are. There's one. Is that going to go on? We must remember God's rescue. See, Remembrance Sunday reminds us of the times when our country has escaped from terrible dangers, when we've been spared serious consequences, when we've been rescued from serious situations. So we look back at times of war and we realise that our country has been rescued from a fate that would have been terrible. Had the Battle of Britain 75 years ago been lost, then Hitler and the Nazis would have been in a very strong position to invade our country, take us over and impose their tyranny, their awful rule. But we were rescued, not insignificantly, through the few who did so much for so many. So we need to remember with gratitude, and we need to be reminded to remember, because we can so easily forget. Or maybe we don't remember very well because we don't really know what happened. That's another good reason for remembrance time. Well, the people who read Psalm 105 needed to be reminded to remember. Remember the wondrous works that the Lord God has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. And you know, the people who first heard those words and used them as a song would have been reminded of the fact that in their past, God had rescued them from an enemy. That was the people of Pharaoh. Against all the odds, God had made it possible by miracles to escape from the slavery that they experienced. Through what's called the Exodus, the escape, and God taking Moses and the people through the Red Sea, the people were rescued as God kept his promise to bring them to himself and then to use them to help other people find out about him. And all this in the Old Testament was pointing forward to how God would keep his promise through Abraham's main descendant and bring rescue to the whole world. Now, we thought a bit earlier about Winston Churchill's famous "So Few" speech about the great rescue that was the Battle of Britain almost exactly 75 years ago. Well, General Hastings Ismay, known as Pug to many, was Churchill's chief military assistant, and he went on after the war to be the first Secretary General of NATO. After the war, Pug Ismay told a friend about what had happened one day when he had been in a car with Churchill in 1940. Churchill was rehearsing the speech that was to become so famous that he was to give in the House of Commons about the Battle of Britain. And as in his as going over it with his friends, he came to the famous sentence that we all remember. He planned to say this: "Never in the history of mankind have so many owed so much to so few." But General Ismay said to Churchill, "You know, Winston, what about Jesus?" "Good old Pug," Winston is said to have remarked. And immediately he changed the wording from "never in the history of mankind" to the one we all know, "never in the field of human conflict have so many owed so much to so few." You see, Churchill realised that there was an even greater rescue that needed to be remembered. And that was the rescue that Jesus made possible. We read from John's Gospel, Jesus saying, "Greater love has no one than this, than that someone lay down his life for his friends." And of course, he was speaking about himself. Jesus went on to die on the cross to deal with the biggest problem that we have as the human race. That is the problem we've got because we've all turned away from God and then rightly deserve his judgment. But through Jesus, we can be spared the serious consequences of turning away from God. We can be rescued from the serious situation that we're in. God in Jesus took in himself what others deserved. Jesus paid the price for the sins of those who would believe in him. Jesus makes God's promise of rescue come true by bringing forgiveness and life that lasts forever with him. And he proved it by coming back from the dead. So we need to be reminded to remember him, because we can so easily forget. Or maybe, like sometimes with wars, we don't know that much about what really happened. So as we remember today, do you remember this most important rescue ever? Have you made it your own by coming to Jesus and telling him of your need for rescue and relying on what he has done? You see, we must remember God's rescue. Well, we started, didn't we, with all those souvenirs, those tokens of remembrance. Well, today we remember what others have done for our freedom, sometimes by paying the ultimate cost in their lives. And we've also seen that God remembers his promises. And we must remember God's rescue. And you know, the rescues that we've experienced through wars are pointers to that ultimate rescue that we need to receive through Jesus. Jesus who fulfilled God's promise by giving his life for others. Let's have a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time today to remember the way that you have rescued us, even in our memories and the memories of those who've gone before us in wars. We thank you for those who gave their lives. But we thank you supremely for Jesus who gave his life to rescue us and bring us back to you. Open our hearts to him, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to sing our next